Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint. Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 12th of April. You're listening to Viewpoint Talk Radio, its current affairs program with invited guests discussing the issues of the day. On today's show, we're going to be going live to Kyiv in about 10 minutes to catch up on the latest developments happening over there. And also after 11 o'clock, going to be joined by Rex Leyland in London. If you want to get involved with today's show, then here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And, of course, looking at the non-dom situation as well. And anything else crossing your radar that you want to make a view, and you've got a view about 952-78-4000 is the phone number. But let's have a look at the front pages in the UK. First of all, several of Tuesday's front pages focus on concerns about expected delays at the UK's travel hubs this Easter. Of course, it is Easter week. The Mail says emergency plans are being drawn up to prevent airport chaos ruining people's holidays. It reports that backroom staff are being offered bonuses to work on check-in desks, but the travellers could still be in queues for hours. Industry figures tell The Times it's taking up to 6 months to vet new security staff and cabin crew who were taken on when operations expanded after the pandemic. They want ministers to speed up the process. The Financial Times focuses on the delays at Dover, saying the economy will be hit and that the chaos is causing reputational damage to the UK. The Telegraph says there are calls for prevent the counter-terrorism scheme to be overhauled after an extremist was found guilty of murdering Sir David Amess, MP. Ali Harib Ali had been referred to the de-radicalization program 7 years earlier, but only had one meeting. The Eye says that thousands of Ukrainians are being taken out of conflict zones in their country and sent to remote corners of Russia. The paper says also says Home Sec Office insiders have admitted the UK scheme to help refugees will leave many people disappointed and won't be accelerated enough to appease its critics. Writing in The Telegraph, television cook Prue Leith says that she volunteered to take in Ukrainian refugees, but has still heard nothing from the government. She says some people who offered to help will just give up. They should have been encouraged, she says, or at least kept in the loop. The Express calls for a rescue package for pensioners facing a £1,000 increase in their bills. The Mirror says the rises have led to a cost of living agony and highlights one couple who feel they'll never be able to put their heating on again. Sir Keir Starmer uses an interview in The Guardian to question whether super-rich politicians can relate to the public. He accuses Chancellor Rishi Sunak of rank hypocrisy for imposing more taxes on people, given revelations last week that Sunak's wife, Akshata Murthy, held non-DOMS tax status in the UK. The Mail says the Chancellor can and must help families in crisis. The Telegraph says GPs are being told to work longer hours because of concerns over pressures on A&E departments. It reports that new NHS guidance says any appointments lost because of practice closures over the Easter bank holiday should be made up within a fortnight. The sports pages of The Times report on rumblings in Formula One after drivers were told there are rules about what underpants they can wear. Apparently, the reminder was a hot topic during an unusually long two-hour meeting. Many drivers did not want to change their habits on the eve of a race. It's thought the rule is about flammable materials. One team boss said he certainly wouldn't be checking for rule breakers, but a French driver said, if they want to check my pants, feel free. I have nothing to hide. Pierre Gasly, take a bow. Meantime, looking at the front of the Spanish papers today, see what they're saying. Most of the Spanish papers have pictures of Federico Malheco from Partido Popular with the future vice president Juan García Gallardo, Vox, at a meeting yesterday. That's causing some disconcern with the Moroccan government. Causing some concern with governments. It's on the front page of El País. Some in the government, excuse me. Also, that El País. That picture is also on the front of Abathe. And also front of El Mundo as well. And again, it says it's going to be, the Vanguardia says that Vox in the government will test the Partido Popular. And the Periódico of the España says that the PP gives way and allows Vox into government for the first time. Back to those front pages in the UK again to see exactly what they are saying. Starting up from the top, top of my pile today is the Metro. The last stand, Ukraine's heroic defenders in Mariupol said ammo is running out, preparing for death or capture after Putin's six-week siege of city. Financial Times, Ukraine appeals for financial aid to survive wounds of Russia war. Fiscal gap heads towards $7 billion a month. And also, votes chase, Macron fights on rivals' turf. That's, of course, the French government. The French presidential elections, there's going to be a runoff between Macron and Ms. Le Pen. The Eye leads with revealed Putin's plan to resettle Ukrainians, people being transported to Far East and Arctic Circle, up to 5,000 miles from their homes. The transportation, the papers as it's seen, Kremlin documents ordering the transportation of 100,000 people to Siberia, the Arctic and Chechnya against their will. Sunak, an out-of-touch hypocrite over tax avoidance, says Starmer, and also Zelensky's troops dig in as Russia loots Ukraine. The Star leads on Rishi tax row. Mr. Stroppy beneath a cartoon of Sunak in top hat and Michael, of course, after the Mr. Men, children's books. His top hat and monocle he's wearing. The paper claims the Chancellor, who's now referred to himself for an inquiry into his family's taxes, is considering a move to the US if the affair ends his chances of becoming Prime Minister. Meanwhile, the Mirror reports on an elderly couple who say they fear they may never turn on their heating because of high bills. The couple also brand the Chancellor, who faced criticism over lack of measures to address the cost of living, in his spring statement. Out of touch, we'll never put our heating on it again. Daily Express, rescue package, plea for millions facing £1,000 bills hike. State pension, saying that the rise in the state pension came into effect on Monday, has been wiped out by spiralling fuel, energy and food costs. Daily Mail, emergency bid to avert Easter airport chaos. Backroom staff to man desks amid fear of nightmare queues. And also, they've got Meghan Markle on the front page. After missing memorial for Philip, Meghan to jet to Holland with Harry. Meanwhile, the Times, summer of travel chaos, warning for passengers. fears of the summer of travel chaos. The paper says airlines have been keen to attract bookings after the end of COVID restrictions, but have struggled to recruit additional staff because of the time required to complete the necessary security checks. And also, British missile takes down Russian zone. That's in Ukraine. The Telegraph has a picture of Prue Leith saying that red tape stops me hosting a refugee. And also GPs told to work late to avoid A&E chaos. The Sun, the headline on The Sun's front page reads, "We'll cut your fingers off." The paper reports that a gang threatened to sever the fingers of ex-England footballer Ashley Cole during a raid on his summer Surrey home, excuse me. And those are your headlines this Tuesday, the 2nd, so this 12th of April.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Morning to Richard, who is quick off the blocks as always. It's not actually the door that you heard squeaking that needs some WD-40. It's the microphone stand, which I was adjusting to the correct position. But thanks for that. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. And you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Going live, as we like to do, to speak to John Sweeney in Kyiv. John, good morning to you.
Morning, Giles.
Good to have you with us. We haven't spoken for a couple of weeks. It has been, well, where do we start? Should we? Well, let's start with the latest in these reports that the Foreign Office are trying to authenticate that the use of chemical weapons in Mariupol, just when we think it can't get any worse over there over the past couple of weeks, and it does.
Yeah, so the Ukrainian army, there's a small pocket of fighters who are in besieged Mariupol. They're fighting like tigers, and they say that last night they were hit with a bomb which caused them massive breathing difficulties, something very, very strange. They suspect it was some kind of chemical weapon, and the top of the list is sarin. Is this surprising? No. Russian ally Bashar al-Assad used chemical weapons repeatedly against the Free Syrian Army in Syria with Russian help. And this is part of the Russian army's playbook, in particular when it's stuck and it's losing people, which is what's happening in Mariupol. I mean, as you know, Giles, I'm doing this podcast taking on Putin, and I'm trying to understand what's going on inside his head, and it's very, very difficult. I can't go to Moscow. Last time I was there in 2018, I was followed around, detained. My passport details were put up online. My fixer was declared a terrorist and had to leave the country for good, and now it's impossible. But I think there is a pattern of poisoning by Vladimir Putin, the poisoning of his critics. And where's it start? That's the thing that fascinates me. Where's it begin? And then I've been looking again at his ghosted autobiography, First Person. And it was written in 2000 to put some flesh on this kind of grey secret policeman he was. And there's a story about rat hunting. And he hunts a rat with a stick, him and his mates. And one day he corners a rat, and the rat comes for him. And he runs back to his flat, slams the door, and the rat snout. And that's the end of the story. But actually, it strikes me that hunting rats with sticks is not an efficient way of killing them. Rat poison is. And I wonder whether his obsession with poisoning his critics starts from back in the day when he used rat poison to get uh, to to reduce the number of rats in his dirt poor apartment. Now, you could say, well, you don't know this, Sweeney, that's not a fact. Yeah, I understand that. The problem is that getting inside Vladimir Putin's head is nigh on impossible. And part of my job, I think, in trying to understand him, this is what I'm, if you listen to my podcast, you can work out where I'm going, is I'm talking to lots of people who know him or know things about him, lots of Russian opposition journalists, and people like Marina Litvinenko, the widow of the former KGB officer Litvinenko, was poisoned with polonium-210. And this pattern that builds of his enemies being poisoned and poisoned and poisoned again and again and again. And if you doubt that, you haven't been paying attention. So when I you know, hear reports that the Ukrainian army, the pocket of the Ukrainian army still fighting in Mariupol gets poisoned, I go, oh, that fits the pattern.
Yeah, listening to the podcast, taking a bit, and I advise all listeners to go and download it and go and help with the crowdfunding as well. On the second episode of the podcast, you list you and a Russian journalist list people who stood up to Putin, and it's just this shot, poisoned but survived. And then you speak about three other journalists who you dealt with, three other independent journalists, all of whom are no longer with it. It makes chilling listening, John.
Yeah, they are, by the way, Anna Politkovskaya poisoned and shot, Natasha Esmerova shot, Boris Nemtsov shot, Alexei Navalny poisoned, now jailed. That's the short list. The long list goes on for too long. But so there's a problem here in terms of the calculation, Giles. What do we do to make sure that this war ends as quickly as possible without escalating to nuclear war? And I think that what the West is doing right now is certainly Boris Johnson. And who, by the way, he was in town. I don't like the guy. I think Brexit was stupid, and I think he's a bit of a fraud. However, fair play to him. It was great that he turned up in Kyiv, the first head of government of a G7 state to do so. And so this is a limited offer only, but for that, good on you, Boris. I mean, sorry, I've got that out of
yes,
the way.
Yes, indeed.
I've left the BBC, but the BBC's rules about fairness I believe in, and fair play to him. It was good that he turned up. That night, I went through lots of checkpoints, as always, after the curfew. I don't know why I do this. It's silly. I've had a couple of glasses of sherry, whatever you do in Spain, and perhaps a couple of glasses of sherry is an understatement. And I just... Anyway, the point is, the moment the Ukrainian police on the checkpoints hear a British accent, it's okay. And so I just went out the window, God save the Queen. I didn't never say that in London, I wouldn't dream of it. But, you know, God save the Queen, God save the Queen, God save the Queen. And the next checkpoint, the cab driver, and there's something called Sergic, which is a kind of Creole version of Ukrainian Russian. And he just says to the guy, the copper with the gun, God save the Queen, in this kind of Creole Ukrainian Russian. And then the guy with the gun just falls about laughing, and we sail through. You know, it's wicked.
Because I'm sitting, you know, here in southern Spain, yeah, and we cannot begin to comprehend what it's like for the Ukrainians. And the situation is, you know, they feel, although they know they're getting support, but to actually see a Western leader come to Kyiv and to be walking about with Zelensky is shows that they're not alone. It shows that they, you know, they and it helps the morale, because if they weren't getting this, and if people don't put the money where their mouth is, quote unquote, then they will, you know, morale may sink, John.
Yeah, no, it's not. Morale isn't going to sink. I mean, there is an absolute conviction here that that the country has been wronged, and they're going to fight like tigers. That comes as standard. It's great that Boris came here, but you've got to also think that he's a politician and there's an element of drama. So I've given him credit for what he's done. However, what they're not doing, neither the British nor the Americans nor the Germans, is supplying enough heavy metal for the Ukrainians to finish the job. And I think the calculation is that they don't want to do that because They like the idea very much that Kyiv has not fallen and that Kyiv's secure. So the capital and Ukrainian state lives on good. But I think the reason why they haven't given the Ukrainians tanks, for example, and fighter planes is because they don't want Ukraine to crush and humiliate the Russian army and therefore humiliate Putin. What they want to happen next is a kind of stalemate to emerge in the south and the east, where the Russians and Putin can sell to his own people that the special military operation, not a war,
yeah.
Some brave Russian guy was arrested. There's a Kyiv monument to the Battle for Kyiv in the Red Square, and he just sauntered up and stood by the monument to Kyiv with a copy of War and Peace and was arrested. That was the nature of the protest. What a hero. However, the big point is that I think this is a mis... And the reason they're doing that is they don't want the warheads conflict to escalate into a kind of rattling of nuclear sabers. I fear that's too much like appeasement. I think that Putin is a rat killer who only understands violence and the threat of violence, and he will continue to escalate and to behave monstrously until he's dead or out of the Kremlin and somebody else takes over. And therefore, the idea that we can in some way feather our response to him and his aggression is flawed and foolish. And the best possible thing we can do to stop him and to make ourselves to get ourselves in a place where we can sleep easily in our beds for the future is to give the Ukrainians the heavy metal they need to knock the Russian army out of Ukraine, full stop.
You mentioned on your Patreon account the other day that, you know, Putin has brought in, quote unquote, the butcher of Syria, and you said you're quite pleased about that, because if he's a butcher, he's not a chess player, this general who understands only cruelty. What did you mean by that?
Well, so Vornikov is General Vornikov was the butcher of Aleppo, and so what this is using poison gas against civilians, using cluster bombs against hospitals. When I was at the BBC Newsnight, I did a couple of films about this with the great Dr. Knott, fantastic and heroic war surgeon. I set out the evidence in those films. And this guy, General Vornikov, was ultimately responsible, though, of course, behind him, ultimately responsible is Putin. But he's not a... So this man is brutal and streetwise, Vornikov, General Vornikov, but he's not a great strategist. And the people I think who were truly great were people like General Bill Slim and Rommel too. And both of them were famous for their humanity as well as their intelligence. Rommel did extremely well in the Western desert, and what happened was the German army had a terrible problem with logistics because the British were reading their codes and sinking all their supply ships. And essentially, Rommel lost the war, not because he was a bad general or lost his battles, because he didn't have enough stuff to fight it with. And I think the Ukrainian general on the other side is much smarter and more humane. And so I'm optimistic that the Ukrainians will do as well as possible with what they've got. My fear is because the West is afraid to really challenge Putin, at the moment Putin is winning the mind game. And by the way, the excuses we're hearing are things like these tanks. I mean, you know, British tanks, I've even forgotten. Britain drives on the left-hand side of the road, yeah?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
I just had to reverse the Spanish one, but yes, indeed.
Yeah, so British tanks can't come to Ukraine because they drive on the wrong side of the road. No, Ukrainians will take them too long to learn. I mean, have they hung out with these people? I mean, they're so smart. They'd learn how to... The real reason they're not sending this kit is they're afraid to match Putin's violence and threats of violence equally. And that, to me, is a failure of will, and Putin will start winning this war if the West doesn't back Ukraine to the hilt. And at the moment, it's not doing that.
What would you... We saw the attack on the train station last week, and we saw
in Crime of course.
Yeah.
Crime of course.
And we saw Butcher as well. And I just want to, before we get into that, because there, you know, I don't know how much social media you do, but I live so much on social media that people actually think that I'm a bot because I'm always on the bleeding social media. And I have got, and as I always say, we're a broad church on this program, for better or for worse. But, you know, I get things coming in saying we had the whole thing about, oh, well, the people lying down in Butcher were actors, or it's a bomb so precise. Hold on. It's a bomb so precise that it kills civilians, but it doesn't knock over the suitcases where they were standing, because obviously those pictures, Spanish press had pictures of the bodies of those killed at the railway station. UK press, sort of as they always do, cut out the more visceral images. But there are, you can see rucksacks, children's push at prams, etc. And people are saying, well, why? Hang on. If it's a missile attack, why aren't these things scattered around the place?
Well, in relation to Kramatorsk, I believe the munition that was used was cluster bombs, and basically it's a two-stage bomb. The bomb, sometimes by parachute, sometimes what happens is you've got a first explosion which takes place maybe 500 feet above the ground, and then that's splatters bomblets all over the place, and they're basically, I've seen them, footage of close-ups used in Syria. They're basically golf balls which contain a series of ball bearings, and when it hits the ground, they smash and cause shrapnel. They don't do big... it's not like a big shell which causes a massive hole, or a bomb which causes an enormous crater. And so what you can happen is that the bomblets hit and then scatter. And by the way, the problem is that there are a lot of people on social media, and I understand why, but it's difficult for me, is that if you actually put the raw images out, many, many people will get offended. So the problem is that these people who are giving Vladimir Putin the benefit of the doubt are looking at it the wrong way around. So, for example, in Bucha, let's set out the whole story here. The Russian army invades. There's multiple evidence of that. 4 million Ukrainian women and children and old men flee, have moved either to the west of the country or to Europe. And they're doing that for a reason. And then you have all of these pictures of these destroyed homes. Then what happens is that people like me are not allowed into Bucha at all, because we may die because the Russian army is still there. Eventually, the Ukrainian army gets a better hand and the Russian army leaves with its tail behind its legs. On the way out, it kills people. And I, with my own eyes, saw multiple dead when I went to Bucha. In particular, two people, two men in civilian clothes, one of whom was shot with a bullet to the back of his head, and I could see ink black blood by his head. The other man was shot in the face. And I put up a picture, and I tried to disguise it by Twitter, in the Twitter thing, but you can follow my feed, and you can see the picture of this civilian who was shot in the front of the head. Now, I saw that with my own eyes. I saw him being loaded into a body bag by two civilians, and the body bag zipping up. And I saw the man lying there, as he'd lain there, and his hands were green, and I took pictures of his hands and so forth and so on. So I do not understand the willful stupidity of these people who question this. I think there is something wrong with them. I think there is something wrong with their psychology or their human soul or their spirit. But the idea that someone like me would lie to them about something like this is absurd. But the idea that 4 million women and children who fled Ukraine would also be lying, that is monstrously absurd. And therefore, they've got to look at themselves and say, no, you know, if you're on a jury and you see an evidence of a serial killer killing people again and again and again, what are you doing when you give them the benefit of the doubt? You're helping them.
What are your thoughts then on what impact this has had on the Ukrainians? Because it was bad enough being invaded in this quote-unquote special military operation, and now that there are horrors going on. Mariupol, as you said in your podcast a while back, or one of your always entertaining late night speeches, heading back from the milk bar. But Mariupol is like Liverpool. It's got the same character. It's a port city. It's like 90% of Liverpool being razed to the ground. And they are seeing, you know, iconic cities being destroyed. Now we're hearing reports that they're booby trapping bodies. There are mines being left. There are horrendous Twitter videos of things being inflicted on women and children coming out, and some of them are too ghastly to even contemplate. That is only going to redefine and presumably to double up the efforts that the Ukrainians are going to be making to fight this one off.
Yeah, it's become harder to stand up. I'm with my Ukrainian friends who I love. It's becoming harder for me to defend things like rule of law and being good to prisoners and being proper with prisoners. The rule of law still obtains here. But when you see, for example, actually this morning, Giles, I looked at a video and I tweeted about it. There was a woman her son had gone missing, and finally I lift up a drain cover and there is her son's corpse, and she recognises her son from her sneakers. And by the way, what happens is, and it's not explained on the video, but the local men tie a rope around the leg and then haul the body out like this. Now, they're not lifting the body. There's no respect. Well, why are they doing that then? Because the Russian army has been placing booby traps on the dead. So it's possible there's a grenade, and then many more people will die because of that. So this grotesque scene, you've got to understand it. What's happening here is everybody is afraid that maybe the body has been booby-trapped with a mine. And mum wants to go and hug her dead son, the corpse of her dead son, and she's held back by 4 or 5 Ukrainian soldiers because they don't want her to touch the son until they're clear and they know that there's no, it's not booby trapped. So it's becoming increasingly hard to defend, to defend the arguments that one should sort of respect prisoners of war, because the Russian army doesn't feel like an army much. It feels like a rabble. Now, this is all consistent with the nature of Vladimir Putin's Russia. Essentially, it's a kleptocracy, rule by thieves. And so if you've got a thief at the top, then don't be surprised there are thieves all the way down. With my own eyes in Borodanka, I saw our homes had been looted, jewelry boxes had been forced open, and a Russian soldier had left his shit in a dressing gown in the kitchen. And this kind of this behaviour is entirely consistent. Other reporters have seen it too. So there is so the answer to your question is, Ukrainians are becoming more and more revolted by the Russian army, and that makes peace and peace talks way more difficult. Why sit down and talk peace with war criminals?
Let's leave them with a final thing, John, because obviously this is a distressing situation, to put it mildly. But you also put on the Queen Elizabeth rocket launcher story which I had that reaction to. So for those who aren't following John on Twitter, and you should be, and I urge you to go and download the podcast and get hold of the podcast, of course, and help him on Raw. But please explain and enlighten, because, yes, it is a terrible situation, but there are moments, even in the darkest days of levity. Please explain to the listeners, John, about God Save the Queen, its effect on Ukraine, and the rumour.
All right, so the rumour is this. So there was a bit, like about a week ago, whatever, Her Majesty the Queen, she was ill, she was turning down from, she wasn't turning up to Windsor, cancelling appointments, she'd got a stick. And the word in the milk bar was that that wasn't true. And in fact, she was, rather than being in a sick bed, she was out with Ukrainian special forces, teaching them how to use the NLAW, the next generation light anti-tank weapon, going, pow, knocking out Russian tanks. And I told this story on the way back, breaking curfew yet again, passing checkpoints, God Save the Queen. And they just go, so the thing is, she's not stuck in Windsor critically, you know, very sick or whatever. She's out with Ukrainian special forces. No, boys. No, you arm it at the Russian tank and you go, fuck. God Save the Queen.
And with her hunting, shooting and fishing background, I mean, it's entirely plausible. That cane could be a next generation anti-tank weapon.
She fought the Nazis back in the last show, and she's fighting them again in a way. So it's this kind of stuff. It's silly, Giles, but it makes you laugh, and you've got to laugh. And laughter also is very much part of the Ukrainian armory, and it's beautiful.
John, if people should be following you, just explain a little bit about the podcast and also about the Patreon site as well.
Sure thing. So, first of all, if you've got any spare money, give it to the DEC Appeal for Ukrainian Charities. If you have some spare cash, then on Twitter, I'm John Sweeney Raw, R-O-A-R, as in chatting at Scientology, and there on my pinned tweet, you can see the two things I'm going to talk about. The first of which is I'm doing a podcast called Taking on Putin, which is my attempt. There's an episode each week, and I've done a podcast about Ghislaine Maxwell, which was very successful, hit number one, etc., etc. This is about Putin, called Taking on Putin, and I'm crowdfunding that, and there's a link under my Twitter banner to help crowdfund. So if you've got a quid or two, that's great, and that helps me make this podcast, get lawyers, get platforms, hire the studio here, and protect me and the people I'm making it from legal and other threats. Your audience might imagine what some of those might be. Secondly, I'm got a Patreon account which funds my journalism here. When I go to places like Bucha and Borodanka, it costs money. I've got to go with people. I've got my my team who I'm looking after, and the team keeps on getting bigger and bigger, but never mind. And that's a Patreon thing. Again, what you do is you pay a pound a month or whatever it is, a euro or 2 euros a month, and you get to see my thoughts, my pieces, and my kind of daily diary and all of that. So I must go. I've got to do some work. But love to Spain.
John, as always, stay safe. Take care. Regards to the rest of the team out there, John, Sweeney and Keith. Take care. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
If you want to get in contact, your thoughts on, and thank you once again, John Sweeney, joining us live from Kyiv. If you want to get involved with us, want this conversation about what's happening in Ukraine.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Those are the numbers and ways to get in contact with us already coming in. Vladimir Putin just saying that Russian forces carrying out military campaign in Ukraine are acting bravely and efficiently and using the most modern weapons. Putin says, no doubt military operation in Ukraine will reach its objectives. That's via IFAX. And this one in as well, Boris in Kiev with no body armor or protection, just walking around in his suit in a war zone. Yes, as I said before, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson visiting Ukraine, visiting Kiev, and walking around with his counterpart Zelensky. If you want to get involved with the show, 952-784-4000. Like to hear your thoughts on that or anything else crossing your radar this morning. Going to be going live to London after the national and international news at the top of the hour, and talking with Rex Leyland for his thoughts on where we're at the moment. Just his top stories at the moment at 10 minutes to 11. The foreign secretary has vowed to hold Vladimir Putin to account if it's proven that Russian forces use chemical weapons in Ukraine. The UK is among countries trying to verify claims by a paramilitary group that a drone dropped a poisonous substance in Mariupol. Also, the government's distancing itself for comments made by Tory MP Crispin Blunt, whatever you do, don't mispronounce that one, who called the conviction of colleague Imran Ahmed Khan a miscarriage of justice. Khan was found guilty of sexually assaulting a 15-year-old boy. Minister James Heapy says Mr. Blunt's comments are not something the government associates itself with. EasyJet says summer bookings are exceeding pre-pandemic levels. It says more flights were bought during the past 6 weeks than in the same period in 2019. Basic pay in the UK fell 1% in real terms in the 3 months to February. Figures suggest strong bonuses kept total salary growth just above inflation. Meanwhile, Britney Spears' partner says fatherhood is the most important job he'll ever do following the announcement of the singer's pregnancy. I will get rid of Britney, and we go live to the lines. Thank goodness for that. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, good morning. It's Marlene in Cuppy.
Morning, Marlene.
I've got a bit of a chill. So can you understand me?
Yes, I can understand you, but you've got a bit of a croaky voice, Marlene.
My voice is gone.
Yep, you're fine.
If you can understand, I think I'd better ring another time.
All right, well, I can understand you, Marlene, if you want to make a quick point.
I didn't realise that my voice was so bad.
It's actually quite husky, Marlene, actually. It's a Brit Eklund going on there.
Cheers.
All right, thank you, Marlene. And as my Welsh grandmother used to say, and there she was gone. 952-784-4000. Crispin Blunt has decided to retract yesterday's statement defending Imran Khan. Not Imran Khan, is it? Imran Khan was the Pakistani Prime Minister who was given a vote of no confidence. It was Imran Khan, Imran Ahmed Khan. I'm sorry that my defence of him has been the cause of significant upset and concern, not least to victims of sexual offence. Pity he hasn't gone completely. Back to the phone lines we go. We wonder who else will be doing their Kim Khan's impersonation. Ask your mother. 952-784-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Kate.
Good morning, Kate. Kate? Yeah, you're breaking up there, Kate. Sorry, Kate, but can you call back, Kate? We seem to be having an interesting one on the phone lines this morning, but we seem to have lost Kate as well. It's one of the joys of doing a live broadcast, of course. Meanwhile, there's more than one Imran Khan. Some say the other Giles Brown is a billionaire. That may be, Richard, but is he happy? 952-784-4000. Ian, congratulations, Giles, on the unique and personal... Thank you very much. Nothing to do with me. On the unique and personal reports from John Sweeney in Kyiv. Long enough to get a full report. A contrast to the short couple of minutes we tend to get on most news reports. Great stuff. P.S. Not a Boris fan, but his high visibility visit to Ukraine certainly boosted his image all around the world. It was a good move indeed. I urge you to help support John doing his stuff over there in Ukraine, and go and check out Taking on Putin. We are lucky indeed to have him. 952-784-4000. We'll try again. Third time lucky. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? I can hear myself, which is always a bad move. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. Hello, caller. Well, I seem to be hearing all the bases this morning on TRE, Talk Radio of Your Voice in Spain. Are you there, caller? Okay, that's not great radio, but there you go. 4 minutes of the first half remaining, and that sounds like a sports commentary, but I'll let that one go. If you want to get involved with this morning's show, be lovely to hear from you. This is one from Talia, chemical agents in Mariupol. I'm surprised you didn't have a very cross John Sweeney. And good morning. Good morning to you too. And good morning to everybody else saying good morning via the miracle of Facebook, including Margot and Kevin and Richard over in the UK, Richard Conlon and Danny in Stockholm. And good to have you with us. 952-784-4000. I will let Lucy do the phone number bit.
To contact TRE, please call 952-784-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
With you until 12 o'clock, just to let you know what's coming up today. After me will be Stephen Ritson with Europe Today. Selena presents the Lifestyle Show today, as she always does from two until four, and she'll be talking with well, amongst her guests will be John Thompson, who is talking about the concert for peace in aid of Ukraine that's taking place next Tuesday. And she'll also be chatting to Michael O'Halloran about the upcoming Darkness into Light walk to raise money for mental health and suicide prevention. Going live to the lines again. Let's see if we can get the phones up and working. We'll try this one more time. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, my name's Paddy Harrison. I'm calling from Mallorca.
Morning, Paddy.
Morning, good morning. I hope I can make this point clearly, or this question, really. During the Gulf Wars and various other things that have been going on with the American soldiers, British soldiers, the soldiers themselves were seen, obviously, to be taking videos using their phones, etc., etc. And a lot of these videos came to light, especially when it came to the abuse of prisoners and things like that. It seems strange that the Russian soldiers, either they don't have mobile phones, or we're not seeing that, as that would obviously be verification of the abuse that they're doing, or we're informed that they're doing, and on both sides as well. That, surely they're posting these things up on Facebook or whatever, YouTube, like the Americans and the British did, and caught themselves out, shot themselves in the foot, so to speak.
Yes.
I just have to make that point, and could you pose that to one of your experts? Query.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, Paddy, is it's now, if you do something that's, I think they're saying, anti-Russian, I mean, they've got journalists to get in, and Russia getting a 15-year sentences for posting anti-Russian, quote-unquote, sentiment. And I'm not sure, because I don't know the ins and outs of the Russian army, if they are taking their mobiles with them.
Yeah, it's just a query. I was watching the TV last night, and I saw all this, and I'm thinking, okay, but these guys, they're probably just foot soldiers, and they would be taking videos. We know what they're like. We know what the Brits are like. You know, same thing. They would be taking videos because they think they're so clever and so good, you know?
Yeah.
They'd be proud of the acts they're committing, these atrocities they're committing. You know, they would be.
Pretty sure that Russia's actually banned Facebook. But an interesting query, and I'm sure we'll get some people coming in on that one as well. Paddy, drive safely. Thanks for calling in from Mallorca, my friend. Cheers. Bye bye.
Okie dokie.
952-784-4000. Right, coming up to the end of the first half, anybody can answer that question. I'm pretty sure that Russia's put a ban on Facebook, but prove me wrong, as I'm no doubt that you will, because you guys always do. 952-784-4000. But we're coming up to the end of the first hour of Viewpoint here on TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. I was also going to say, after Selena's show, Hannah is not unable to be with us. So I will be sitting in this afternoon for Hannah's show. Bob James is back with us with Spain Today from 6 until 7, and then you get a repeat of Viewpoint, so you'll be listening to me again. And if you're listening to me in the repeats, good evening to you, good afternoon to you. Right then, national, international news, and then back with the second half of Viewpoint. We'll go live to London and Rex Leyland.
Clear, concise, current reporting throughout the day. TRE, your voice in Spain.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown. Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint. And it's live to the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, it's Jason again. As discussed off air, every day you're above ground and breathing, it's a good day. so what I'd like to, I'd just like to say something for clarity before I start rambling on. That, in my opinion, all warfare is as futile as it is dumb. And to quote a wiser man than me, which was Gandhi, he said that an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, is no good because the whole world ends up blind. The days of chivalry and honour and morality in warfare apparently died with the Knights Templar. So we find ourselves in a protracted situation now in Ukraine where everything is escalating. The Russians so far have lost this war, but their new general is a battle-hardened general from Syria. The tactics are changing. And my prediction is that there's a high possibility that they will win their objective. And the reason I say this, battles are fought and won with air superiority, which in modern terms is strike combat aircraft. The Russians have got 300, the Ukrainians have got 100. It goes back like the Battle of Britain, it's mathematics, right? And this supersedes mortars and rocket fire and artillery. The fire is in the air because you cut communications, you cut it up, you destroy the resistance by bombarding it, destroy the infrastructure. This is what's coming. So, roll on. We end up with a dangerous situation now because we end up in a proxy war situation. Now, the weaponry gets more and more sophisticated, therefore more deadly. And the world stands and watches and looks the other way. We know why we've got to do this. But it starts to pull at our heartstrings and morality when maybe other countries start supporting America. I'm not saying China would or South Korea arming them, right? And we end up in a proxy war situation like we have in other countries where everybody is just as guilty, not just the soldiers on the ground that are the pawns in the game, but you and I and every politician that stands safely behind watching selfishly, hypocrisy, thinking about their gas and their fuel supplies. They're just as bad as the soldier pulling the trigger. At least he's got honour. At least he's standing there. So the problem's going to come when this escalates and the weaponry gets more deadly that's been supplied. And this is when this can get spin out of control. At what point, can people look the other way? Because the press sanitise warfare, because they don't know nothing about it, right? Everybody gets all carried away. Everybody becomes an expert on warfare, but they know Jack SH1T about it. And this is the problem. You can't sanitize warfare because it's ugly.
Yeah.
And it's ugly because it's stupid, right? So if we'd have tried harder winning the peace instead of the war, all this effort that's been putting into the rhetoric from the West, we should have just tried harder to consolidate the situation, give Putin a way out of keeping face, right, and put a lid on the damn thing. Because the way it's going, this is going to go really bad. And that's all I want to say. There's a lot for you to think about there, OK?
Jason, as always, from somebody who has been in the forces, of course, we respect your view, and thank you for your call in, my friend. Take care, have a good day.
Thank you kindly.
952-78-4000. We're going live to London and Rex Leyland. Morning to you, Rex.
Good morning, Giles, and good morning, Spain. How is everything with you over there? The weather, I hear, has finally changed, and you're back to normality. Is that correct?
Normality, especially if you're based around the Greater Marbella region, Rex, is perhaps a double-edged sword, and it is a bit cloudy today, but hey, that's enough of the weather talk. Yeah, we're back to sort of somewhat normality. Easter week is here, and you know how that means. We're rather busy with visitors from the Madrileños have descended upon Marbella and the southern coasts as well, and we're seeing it's a trickle of of British and other nationality visiting. How are things in London, Rex? What's been crossing your radar from the poop deck, shall we say, of your five star luxury floating thing?
No! Don't exaggerate. News from the deck is.
I like that, Rex. News, that can be your feature. News from the deck.
Well, news from the deck is actually quite exciting, coinciding with Easter. We have found a tufted duck nesting on the top deck in a plant trough.
Right.
It thinks it can't be seen. It's sitting on six eggs. But we have a major issue, isn't it? We have a major issue. Yeah. The heron is also watching very carefully. And as you know, herons are partial to a little bit of scrambled eggs for breakfast.
Indeed, they are.
We are somewhat concerned about Mrs. Duck and her brood that will be appearing, we hope, quite soon. How she's going to get them off the top deck down to the riverbed, which is a hell of a height, God only knows. But I think we should not interfere with nature. That's the Easter news. We go on to more.
As Kipling would say, nature red in tooth and claw. Right then. Now, other news then.
Other news. Well, Mr. Sunak has certainly got himself into a little bit of hot water. It's such a shame, you know, because he was our sort of pandemic saviour and could do no wrong. And now all this has come out. Of course, no one's broken the law. It's just the essence, the width of everything at this particular time that is so, so harrowing for so many people. You know, it's as if we've all been punished. We, that's the world, not just the Brits or the Spanish or anything. It's just that having come out of the pandemic and all having suffered so badly, and then we have this war, and then we have the crisis with supply, demand, fuel, taxes going up. I mean, can it get any worse? I think back, you know, they always say a 48 baby had it good. I consider that I did have it good, and I was very fortunate, and I will never forget that. But I just feel now that for these horrible reasons, the tide has finally turned, and we're all somewhat under the cosh, which, of course, looking back, probably it wasn't so bad after all.
I mean, looking at it, Rex, this is the whole non-dom situation and the green card situation. And as, you know, looking at the UK front pages there, the Mirror saying that, you know, you have reports of people who fear they may never be able to turn their central heating on again.
I know. It's horrendous. It's absolutely horrendous. Our heating on the boat is with red diesel or marine diesel. Which, when we moved on the boat 15 years ago, was 43 pence a litre. When the fuel barge came by the other week, it was £1 a litre, giving you an idea of how things have increased. But with green cards and so on, and having the protection of being a resident of another country is undoubtedly unpleasant at this time. It's odd that the press latch on to different things. I mean, Labour also, I'm not taking sides on this, Labour also have a checkered history. I was just reading this morning in the Sunday Times, you know, they also have had a bit of scandal. But that's the risk of being a politician. And be careful what you wish for. This government, Boris wanted to be prime minister. He is still prime minister, only just. But I bet you, thinking back of all the things he's had to suffer and his government, probably that wasn't the greatest desire of the day. But who knows? Who knows? In London, it's Bustling, still okay. Nothing really to that shows that there's any severity. But then I don't see. I only see what's going on in my locale. The only real gossip locally is of course, our football team, Brentford, beating Chelsea.
Yes.
And I hear that there's a match on tonight, is it, with Chelsea and Real Madrid? And I don't take an interest in football, but I hear from my advisors that probably Real Madrid will win tonight.
You have advisors on that.
I have advisors, MCR, as he's known. He also tells me that they had a little manifestation up in Zagaleta with open viewing days, and there was a sign posted welcoming everybody to this event, and the welcome sign was written in every language, and then including Russian, and somebody came up and crossed out the Russian, which I thought was very appropriate.
Well, that's interesting, especially in a place like Zagaleta, which has
exactly,
a large amount of...
Zagaleta of all places.
Gets back to that...
Anyway...
Back to the thing about a little bit about Sunak as well, and basically the I mean, and also the British government. I mean, Johnson's visit to Ukraine, does that made, do you think, any impact? Did that, if you like, deflect people's thoughts away from the situation that we have? We're still waiting for the fallout from Partygate, for example, fixed penalty notices being. Metropolitan Police seems to have got itself in a bit of a situation as well with the Sarah Everard vigil, of course, where people were getting fined and the response has been... I mean, it really... It's a tough time for the capital, Rex, you'd have to say. So, Cressida Dix leaving the Metropolitan Police last week or the week before.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time, should we say, to be in the capital.
It is. I'm not sure that Cressida Dix did a great job, and I think certainly room for improvement. Your point about Boris going to Ukraine, I thought, was commendable. It does put Partygate slightly on the back burner just for the moment. I think that it was really a very good manifestation of his support for Ukraine that he actually went there. Was it a day or two after what's her name from head of the EU? I never remember her name, but I think it did Boris a power of good, and it was interesting, of course, that it was leaked by the lovely Ukrainian ambassador, but probably he was just about on his way back. But it's a stick in the eye for poking the eye for Putin. And with regard to Putin, what I can't understand, Giles, is why we in 2022. Can't inform the Russian people of what the truth is, what really is going on. If you go back to the old Second World War when they were dropping pamphlets, you know, the Allies dropped pamphlets. I mean, can't we send drones dropping pamphlets over Moscow? Or how can we get the news of this horrendous, horrific war to the people of Russia? So they know how awful and putrid their leader is. Are there any ideas on that?
Well, no. I mean, as I said before, I mean, Russia seems to have pretty much locked down all social media and pretty stiff penalties, even though we are seeing people...
But why can't we get in there? We've got the technology.
Well, I mean, I think the Russians have got the technology. I mean, I thought the idea of drones dropping pamphlets, I think, is an interesting one, Rex.
Well, it was voodoo dolls last time.
It was, of course.
It's drones dropping pamphlets. We've got to work on some harebrained scheme, for God's sake.
And Rex, you're just the man. Rex, thank you for joining us. Let's keep in touch with Herongate or Tufted Duckgate.
No, not Herongate. Puzzle Duck.
Tufted Duckgate. Rex Leland.
I'm planning to come to the Costa. I booked my tickets to arrive at the end of May, and I can't wait.
We can't wait to see you live in the studio, as always. Rex, take care.
I'd love to be there with you, Giles, and And I also look forward to welcoming you to London later in the year.
Yes, indeed. I look forward to sitting and getting more news live from BDEC. Rex Leyland, live from London, as always. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Giles. All the best. I'd love to Spain. Take care, everybody.
Talk Bye. Radio Europe. Viewpoint.
Live to the lines we go.
Giles Brown.
Live to the lines we go. Thank you for holding. Caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Crossblank.
Kate,
yeah.
Good morning to you. Right, loud and clear.
Right, I'll try to make this fast. One, Rex mentioned the biggest issue for the UK population is the poverty that the Conservative government since 2010 have reduced the UK population to. Stories now about people going to bed at six because they can't afford to keep the heating on.
Right.
And things like that are quite shocking. I mean, as in the context of the total disasters to the world, no, they're not. But they're self-inflicted problems like Brexit. And Brexit has caused a fair amount of this. Boris going off and flaunting his, you know, doing his peacock job, he's in the right place at the right time, but it just, he would be nice to believe that he will keep his promises to the Ukrainian population. That's a shorthand for a lot of things.
Mm, yeah, indeed. I mean, as I said, I was speaking to John, as you say, and it did, I mean, it's, you could argue that it's always easier for a leader to jet off to somewhere and look big on the international
right.
stage. I mean, recently at the G7, perhaps, or the G20 meetings, he was put a little bit in his place when everybody kind of ignored him. But with yes. Zelensky, he's got a captive audience, if you like.
And if, you know, Zelensky wants weapons, and Boris is saying he will survive by them. Mm. Anyone who knows Boris over time knows that he doesn't usually keep his promises.
Well,
so you know, I did not rely on too much. Anyway, everything is going crazy. You don't need the Blunt story. I tried to read the one about the Tory MPs,
yeah.
And because I tried to read up about it this morning and I couldn't actually make head or tail of it.
Well,
you probably need.
Well, we'll wait to see with that one as well. Kate, I've got another call coming in, but thank you for calling in. I'll speak to you later. Good to hear from you. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Thanks for holding.
Oh, good morning. It's the sweet bird in Shilshet in the Finca here looking over the sea and a swimming pool which is full of sand after this sand that came from Sahara. Big trouble here. But anyway, I'm laughing of happiness of this last caller that said they moved on board in their boat and they lived on board their boat in 15 years. And how much I agree with this caller. I retired when I was 50 and my wife and I moved on board and lived 20 years on the boat, sailing around the world a couple of times. As I said before, also around yes. the United States with a motorhome.
Yes, yes.
And what I want to emphasize, and my point of view, is that when you moved onto the water, you seem to think differently, and you change your mind about many things.
Right.
And I've got two sons in New Zealand, and the youngest one, he sits on he's a hillybilly, if you understand hillybilly. He chosen to have a farm.
Right.
So he has 6,000 acres up in the mountains. He's just built a house all over the clouds. And he doesn't want to travel. He's grown up in New Zealand.
Okay, yeah.
And he sits there high up, and he goes. He has 2.5 hours drive to the nearest pub or the nearest town or whatever, and he's happy there with his wife and brought up the kids there.
Yeah.
I mean, his mind is totally different to my mind. We still get on and we meet right. each other every 2 years and have a big laugh about it. But not many people understand that when people that telephone into your program, and debate about what's going on in Ukraine now with Brexit or whatever it is. Some people are single-minded and they're not very very wide view about things, and others have wider views about things. So this with Russia, you know, it's a very difficult thing. I haven't been there, but I've been to East Germany. I've been to some other communist states
Got some more calls coming in. Got some more calls coming in, but thank you for your calling and thank you for the word hillybilly.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Take care. There you go. You think differently when you're on the water, as I often do as I go looking for my boats. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Got some more calls coming in, but thank you for your calling.
Hello.
Oh, you're live on TRE.
It's John Dodd.
Oh, hello, John.
We've got to stop people going on about the pandemic, because I don't believe there ever has been a pandemic.
Okay, that's fine, but we weren't talking about that. We haven't talked about the pandemic all day today.
Oh, yes, it was mentioned. They all mentioned the pandemic.
Who?
And he's so intelligent, I'm wondering that he actually believes there's a pandemic.
Yes, John, the pandemic.
But what gives the right to anybody that comes on your program, like Anna Murray, Selena McKenzie, to say, oh, before the pandemic? But there was never any pandemic.
John,
told them to wear a mask? Who told them to get injected? Who told? It's crowd management, for Christ's sake.
Okay, thanks, John. Bye. Okay, now, meantime. Really? 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 Oh, really? 952-78-4000 is the phone number. John, what am I going to do? You know, we weren't talking about that. And Hannah Murray and Selena McKenzie do not come on my programme. Simple as that. Right then. We've got to stop people. That's where your cue is to bin the call, indeed. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. Hello, caller.
Hi, Giles.
Hello, caller. Hello. I recognise that voice. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles. It's Alf. And
yes.
I just want to say, right at the beginning, you did a cover-up job, a very good cover-up job. I've known you for many years, and that creak at the beginning was your knees.
Yes, it was my knees. Yes, indeed. I've been talking about my knees yesterday.
Nothing to do with microphones,
Ben. Yes, when you hit your mid-50s, that's it. You see,
mid-50s, so I'm a bit beyond that.
Well, there's years of playing awful rugby. Anyway, you've been listening in this morning, Alf, and Mark, come on. I wait with trepidation for the Brewer point. Come on.
No, so we start with Jason, and he did, I don't know if you said it wrongly, but he said the Russians have lost the war. They haven't lost the war, they've just moved on to a new phase, and if people genuinely look at what's going on, just watch the television when they do their overview, and they say, Putin's goal is to take the Donbass. Well, if that were true, why is he still why is he still bombing the hell out of Kharkiv, which is to the east? Why is he still moving on to Odessa, which is, you know, much further along? He wants to make gains, and he will argue, you know, I'm not by any measure justifying Putin, but he's going to say, we weren't safe in the Donbass when we had the Donbass, when the Russian separatists effectively controlled the Donbass area, because they never really did, but, you know, they had a big say. And so why is he carrying on with the rest? Well, he's going to argue, well, it's to protect the Donbass, so we need the Donbass, and now we need Odessa. And by the way, I'm going to squeeze Ukraine to death because that's their trade route, and we're going to take it to the east so that we've got another, you know, whatever it is, 30, 40, 50 kilometre gap between Russian border and anywhere else in the Ukraine. What they can do. So don't believe, and I don't believe any of the stuff about Putin's going to do this. They had the guy on last night, who's the foreign secretary or whatever he is, the big bloke, and he said Putin offered a ceasefire at the first meeting. But because the Ukrainians carried on firing at us, we ain't doing that again.
Oh, Lavrov, like, yes.
It's like, yeah, you just go, and they do it. So, and I want to come on to then, partly agreeing with Rex, but from a different angle. Rex says, quite right, how do we get the message into Russian people? There are enough Russian people living outside of Russia who are getting the message into the Russian people. And, you know, there's nothing better than the gossip trail and the tittle-tattle trail than getting a message out. So they do know. But as you quite rightly say, there's a fear level. Anybody who stands out 15 years, and it's not 15 years in Wormwood Scrubs or somewhere like that. This is 15 years in a Siberian freezing cold prison, digging ground that's rock hard, or whatever they do to these people. So it's not something that's easy. I mean, if you've heard some of the horror stories about the prisons in Spain and, you know, sleeping on dirt floors with all the animals, you know, it's just like...
Yeah.
It still hasn't put... And they're the brave people, the ones who are still standing up to Putin and saying, you're wrong. But believe me, the Russians are getting a message. What they can't do is, like you say, using social media and stuff like that, because they've blocked it, and it's not easy. So I was just imagining... Let's build a drone. I don't know how big this drone's going to be to put paper on it. It's quite a size, about the size of a jumbo jet drone.
Yeah.
And it's going to go over Moscow, and it's going to drop all these pamphlets that the people in Moscow don't believe anyway, because you just have to listen to the comments coming back about, you know, Russian people being, you know, they've been challenged, and as far as they're concerned, this is all Ukraine's fault. And nobody else's. And what happens? This isn't World War II, Rex. This is a modern era. If a plane drops those pamphlets over, immediately, Russia will go, the West have got involved. Now this is, you know, it's about how you stop provoking World War III. And that's what's been said for the last 7 weeks, is it, that Ukraine's been going on? It's what's been said for the last... since 2014,
I think.
In fact, since 2008, when Russia first started saying, you know, Ukraine shouldn't be doing this, that, and the other. So there's no way that the Russians, there's no way Putin's going to sit back and watch a load of leaflets fall on Moscow or anywhere else in Russia trying to explain that he's wrong and do nothing about it.
I think the very thought of trying to get a plane anywhere near Moscow at the moment would be, anyway, I mean, you know, I mean, to be honest with you.
Well, unless you're on an internal Russian commercial flight, yeah, there's not a lot of chance. Well, even they don't go near Moscow, the city. They on the outside, a long way outside. So, yeah, I mean, I just think that's thing. And the other thing as well is, I think somebody said, you know, it was John, wasn't it? He said, give Johnson some credit. At least he turned up. Yeah, quite rightly. He has done that. All of us cynics will say, yeah, but he's only done that to deflect the stuff from people. I'm walking around without a flak jacket on. Kiev now, as I understand it, is not in a war zone. They're not bombing it. They're not doing any of that. So walking around without a flak jacket on just makes it... And I don't know how long he was on the ground anyway and how many people he was surrounded by.
Well, it looked like... I mean, having looked at the pictures, it looked pretty clear of people. I mean, there seemed to be sort of one person put it there. I doubt very much that he was, you know, in a quote-unquote hot area. No. Although Liz Truss may have probably gone on it with a tank, I mean, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I can imagine her in a tank with flowers painted on the side of it, with an headband on, singing Beatles songs. You know, it's just I seriously can't imagine that woman as being a leader of anything, to be honest. But, you know, that's my cynical view as usual. The same as Richie Sunak.
Yep.
He is Richie, and you just go, we've been saying this for weeks and weeks and weeks. But the British public tend not to listen to that. You know, the same as the Russians, they've been bamboozled by all the stuff coming out saying, "Oh, what a great guy!" And he designed all the saving stuff for the the virus going through all that stuff. And he goes, yeah, but he also wasted millions of pounds on unused PPE. And now, the latest information is it 35 million pounds they're paying a company to burn the stuff? And you go, oh, that's doing a lot for the environment as well, isn't it? They couldn't even make PPE that could rot in the ground. Oh, no, they have to burn it. 35 million pounds. I know for, you know, 2 million people in the UK, 35 million pounds wouldn't go that far as much.
Sorry?
But it would all help. And yet they do it. And they still say, oh, Rishi Sunak, what a good guy. Really? Really? He's the Chancellor of the Exchequer. I don't care what, you know, all the other ministers, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. No. Treasury decides how much money you can spend.
Got some more calls coming in, Alfred.
Yeah.
You can call back a bit later on, but I'll get another voice. If it's okay with you, I will get...
Of course, but I'm never going to put party gate on the back burner.
Exactly, absolutely not. Alf, good to hear from you. I'll speak to you a bit later. 952-78-4000, morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles. It's Sharon from Alicante.
Good morning, Sharon.
Hi. Good morning. Where to start? There's I agree with pretty well everything Al said.
Yeah.
But also, there was a hell of a lot of fraud with the furlough scheme, if you remember. There was it four billion or 4 million lost in a bit of a difference, but a lot of money was lost with fraud. And going back to Johnson, I'm staggered at the people who are falling for this PR stunt. It's only when the war is over we will be able to see how many promises Johnson has kept to the Ukrainian people, as Kate said. Boris does things for Boris. Boris does things for Boris's image. You could argue he was brave, but as you said, it was under circumstances that were pretty clear of danger, as far as you could say with this horrible situation. So to say, you know, anybody to say they were proud of him or whatever, I just find it staggering that people are still saying that he's all right, he's doing his best, and he's ruffled his hair, and he's lovely, isn't he? And he's going to get in again, and I'm just so concerned about this naivety. But that's my point. Anyway, thank you.
Sharon, as always, great to hear from you as well with Viewpoint. Going to go back for the last 18 minutes or so of Viewpoint after this.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Lent to the last 50 minutes, live to the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Kostblank.
Yes, Kate.
Warm and enthusiastic endorsement of what Alf said, and Sharon, and all of us are missing. Most people in your listenership have relatives and friends in the UK. The UK is being shot to heaven by the Conservative policies. I'm just reading pensioners riding a bus all day to keep warm. This is the Joseph Rowntree Foundation.
So you're saying that the only way that certain people can actually stay warm and dry is actually getting on the bus and then just going all day?
Yes.
There's
things that are really seriously wrong with the UK.
Yeah.
And the electorate need to wake up. It would help if it was before the May elections. Cheers.
Thanks very much for that. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello. Hello.
Hello, Felix. Good morning to you.
Hello. Hello, Giles. This is now moving into nuclear war situation. What Jason said earlier on was correct. There's an announcement this morning from Stoltenberg, the head of NATO, that China is now within their sights as well. Putin and Russia did not want nuclear weapons on their border. They warned us about this for many years. If you just think about it, how would America like nuclear weapons pointed at their country from Mexico?
But,
well, we already know. We already know because Jack Kennedy was prepared to go to he didn't want to, but he was prepared to go to nuclear war when the, when rockets were being set up in Cuba, which was a dreadful thing for Castro to do. But he was prepared to go to war, go to nuclear war, third war, World War III.
Mm.
So we know what America would do if rockets were set up in Mexico, pointing at America. So that's what the Russians fear, and I think that they're right to fear. I think that the United States of America has caused this war. They didn't invade, but they caused it because when a man is fighting with a gun at his head,
yeah,
he's going to have to do certain things. And that's what was happening. That was happening against Russia.
Right.
And I think the situation now, listen to Giles, or listen to Jason. Jason is correct. This is now moving into nuclear war territory. And this will be nothing left if you follow the advice of John Sweeney to remove Putin and talking about Putin as a rat catcher. This is bad language. Really? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Felix. Right then. Let me just do this.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And take a deep cleansing breath into the last 10 minutes or so. Let's go to some business that we have some emails coming in. Viewpoint, I will take most viewpoints in this morning. So let's have a look at some. Good morning to Liz in Brighton. Good to have you with us, Liz. Glad to know that you're listening in. I just want to check on the message that she sent in, which is as follows. We're talking about Paddy calling in from Mallorca saying, why aren't Russian troops putting up images on their social media? Because I think the Russians have had their phones taken off them before they go. Stay safe, take care. Loads of love to you all. Thank you, Liz. Good to have you with us. Richard, I think, makes the same point as well. Been a busy morning this morning on Viewpoint. Let's have a look at... So what we have is... I'm just saying which, yes... people have used VPNs to circumvent. I would expect Russian generals have confiscated mobile phones in case they were captured. And looking at that, people did nothing for a decade. Crimea, Syria, Georgia, Chechnya. Is Rishi a savior? Any idiot can give money away. Thanks for the arrest are already involved. Just wait till Finland gets NATO approval next month. Reading a thing about Estonia as well. People signing up for the Estonian volunteer forces, as it seems they're getting very nervous about what Russia are up to. Germany's gas supplies would last until late summer, early fall, otherwise known as autumn, should Russia stop supplies now. That's the network regulator chief tells Die Zeit newspaper. Eat out to help fishy, lots of scams. COVID was a great swindle. The UK is the most corrupt country in the world. And meanwhile, I presume I'm not. This must be Jason. I think we should try substituting the words Ukrainian, Russian, Chinese, North Korean, Iranian, Muslim for the word. Or I prefer Persian, for the word human being, because all said and done, that's what we are on a damaged planet. I must be Jason. I would remind all there are no borders between nations or people visit all from space. It is Jason. Failed species, Giles. Me in particular, or just generally? I said the Russians may win his battle. Now change tactic, new commander. Nobody ever wins a war. I said I'm misquoted again. People here, everybody speak on this program, but they seldom truly listen. Reason is they are so entrenched and narcissistic in their own viewpoints. They don't care. Well said, Felix Crook's point. Hit the nail on the head. The hypocrisy of mankind. Okay. This one in as well, saying the West kept pulling the dog's tail. There are biolabs in Ukraine, right, funded by the USA, and that is fact, despite what the US Secretary has stated. The same news outlets that frightened everyone over COVID are now pushing this narrative. Did Boris have his sleeves rolled up? Okay. Meanwhile, Gazprom Germania's biggest gas storage facility currently has storage level of less than 1%, which will have to be ramped up, thank you, Richard, significantly by November. That's the network regulator chief. So those are some bits and pieces. I'm just seeing in, and good morning to Natalie listening in as well. I'm glad I made you laugh, Natalie. As many people would say, right, 952-784-4000. Well, I'll let Lucy do these bits.
To contact TRE, please call 952-784-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And it's back to the lines we go. It's busy this morning. It's just how we like it on Viewpoint, as we know. Always live, always lively. Morning, caller. You're live.
Morning, Jamos.
George, good morning to you.
Yes, right. Just listening to your little things that came in on the WhatsApp there, I would say that your audience are in opposition to what your narrative's been today.
Well, you know, there's no change there then, John.
Well, yeah, except for your audience don't actually, really, shouldn't you actually be putting an alternative viewpoint? Like, yeah, you've got a lot of people confirming that Russia's bad and that this is bad. But just look at the people who are up against Russia. You've got the Clinton, Obama, Hunter Biden crime family hiding their things. Right. You've got Ukraine that killed 14,000 Russians when they didn't like the... You've got so much going on
that
is not being reported, it's not being allowed to be seen, and you're still giving out the official narrative. Good luck, mate. You should actually have some alternative views on there sometimes.
Which is why...
Okay, take care. God bless.
Thank you, John. Good to hear from you, as always. Okay, fine. 952-784-4000. This coming in from Richard. Obama is not in power. Thank you. Just looking at some of the more bits and pieces coming in. If you want to get involved, pushing narratives, etc. Is it a full moon tonight? Not quite sure. I'm feeling more lycanthrope than normal, but here are the details to get in touch.
To contact TRE, please call 952-784-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
There is no honour for... This is from Peter. There is no honour for a soldier killing civilians. Amazing how many facts are made up by some spotty teenager in his mother's cellar. Thank you. The next full moon occur on Saturday, April the 16th at 2:55 p.m. So that's close enough for Richard as well. Ukrainian battalion accuses Russia of using chemical weapons on civilians. Chemicals of an unknown origin dropped via an unknown drone or something. Anyway, morning, caller, you're live in TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles. It's Gray. How are you? Are you well this morning?
Gray, good morning to you.
It never ceases to amaze me, Giles, how I can guarantee the people who are ringing in support of Russia voted for Brexit or Tory voters, think that the party that Boris did was okay. Probably even flat earthers think that QAnon was amazing and that Donald Trump is our saviour, and that people being attacked and their homes being destroyed, it's not a bad thing. You know, it never ceases to amaze me. You've got to give the other narrative, Giles, apparently. You know, the narrative that Putin's not a thug and that Putin's not killing women and children indiscriminately.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, with Viewpoint, Gray, I try to keep a straight bat. So, you know, I mean, that's all I can say. And I'm not shouting anybody down just at the moment. And as I said before, you know, you can come on, you can make your points. Because that is, you know, we the whole kaleidoscope of views, I think, because otherwise it'd be a pretty boring show for me when, you know, we're not talk. I try not to be talk radio nice on this one.
No, I get it, 100%, and I think a straight bat is saying what gets said on the radio and on the TV every day.
Yeah.
I don't think we should be reporting anything that's remotely supportive of a regime that controls their people by locking them up if they say anything distinctly against the regime. But apparently some people out there think that that's okay. And, you know, it seems to be that there's like, there's a narrative of the type of person. This is my opinion, not
yep.
yours, Joel.
Absolutely. No, great.
There's a narrative of the type of people who support, who think that climate change is a load of rubbish and that everything else that's ultra-right-wing is good. And unfortunately, they've had the loudest voices since Brexit, but most normal people now are starting to realise not only was Brexit a mistake, but look, we've got a lousy government in the UK and that Putin is indiscriminately killing people. And I don't really care what the others have to say about it because, you know, to me it's irrelevant.
Right.
So there you go.
Great, as always.
Thanks, Charles.
Good to hear you. Good to hear you, and drive safely, mate. Good to have you with us. Just got to try and take care. 9527 84000. Just a quick one. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, just last blast from me, Charles.
Yeah, go on then, quickly.
It's not about Russia, China, North Korea anymore.
Yeah.
It's about the bigger picture. In sufferance, and there's experience and knowledge you get. And you realise it's about a species, one species.
Yeah.
We spend billions on space exploration looking for new life, but yet through the ages we spend trillions on destroying life on this planet. The problem's fundamental. It's on a civilization level.
Right.
We're good at warring, we're less good at humanity. And our species has evolved in many ways in technological prowess, but we've failed and forgotten who we are and where we come from. And that's all I want to say.
Jason, thanks very much for that one. Peter said, you did shut down John Dodd a little bit earlier on. Yes, well, that was, yes, I'm an apologies to John Dodd, but there are certain bits and pieces. All right then, almost out of time. Richard, what's staggering, it's taking so long for Muppets to realise that Brexit was a mistake. On that one, I will leave you. Thank you very much indeed for all who have phoned in today to make a viewpoint to the programme that it is. In all its technicolour glory. Right, I'm off to do what I normally do after a viewpoint show. Thanks for the phones in, the messages, the WhatsApp, etc. I'm back later on at 4 o'clock today. No, I'm not yet at 4 o'clock today, standing in for Hannah Murray. Have a great rest of your day. This show repeated at 7 o'clock. Stephen Ritson is up next.
Expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.